And that we're living in a world that is growing and increasing in its amount of wickedness and sin and its depravity. But we can still be faithful and acceptable to God. And that God's not going to put more upon us than we can bear. That we have the opportunity through the power of the Spirit, through the power of prayer, through the power of Jesus Christ, that we can overcome whatever we might face. We need to remember that it is possible. It is only not only possible, but it is required of us to be faithful to God. Then number two, let me suggest that we also need to be reminded that we can leave God. That we can leave God. There is a thought in our world that you will hear expressed sometimes by religious groups that once saved, you're always saved. And that you can never lose your eternal salvation. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says, for example, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, Paul is talking about Christians, and he says in that context, in one simple verse, he says this, "You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace." ESV version says, "fallen away from grace." You see, we understand in Genesis chapter 3 that when Adam and Eve fell into sin, when they made that choice to sin, that they then were going to die because that was the consequences of sin. We also understand that because of the sin of Adam, because they sinned, and because like we also all sin because of our choices, there was a need for a Savior. Jesus had to die. We understand that we can be faithful to Jesus, we can be faithful to God, we can also choose to turn our back on Him. Ronnie read from Judges chapter 2. And the whole book of Judges is a constant repetition of the people of Israel being faithful and then returning to the world. Often going into idolatry, or then they would be carried away into captivity, and then they would return back to the Lord. But the emphasis is they left the Lord on a regular basis. In the New Testament, and turn with me, if you will, to the epistles of 1 and 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We read about two men that Paul writes about in verses 19 and 20. And he says, "Holding faith and a good conscience by rejecting also some have made shipwreck of their faith. Among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Here's two men, Hymenaeus and Alexander, who were Christians. But they, Paul says, had been delivered over to Satan. They had made shipwreck of their faith. A little later on in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul mentions two other men. In verses 17 and 18, he says, "And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus." Once again, Hymenaeus mentioned, and now Philetus, "who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. And they are upsetting the faith of some." And then later in chapter 4, verse 10, he tells us about a man named Demas who was in love with the present world and has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. It is very possible. In fact, it's not only possible, but you have seen it, haven't you? You have seen people who used to be sitting in these chairs. You've known people who grew up in the church with you, who became a Christian, and they were faithful. Maybe they were faithful for a number of years. But for whatever reason, their faith suffered shipwreck. For whatever reason, they fell in love with this present world. And there can be all kinds of factors there, and we'll talk about some of them in this series. But let me just say now that it is important for us to understand, because we're fed a line many times in the world that as long as you believe in God, as long as you believe in Jesus, that you're all right. But what I want you to know, that faithfulness is more than just simple belief, that we have to have works. And that's what we're talking about, that we can be faithful, we can live a life that's acceptable. But let me also say that we need to remember that we can fall away, that we can leave God. We can fall in love with this world, that we can leave the church, that we can become an erring child of God. There's a sense we understand that we're always God's child, but we can become an unfaithful child of God, an erring child of God. In fact, let me say from Acts chapter 20, where Paul warns the elders at Ephesus that there were going to be savage wolves who would come up amongst them. And then from Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, where he talks to the seven churches of Asia, that it is not only possible for a individual to fall away, but it's possible for a congregation or a church to fall away. And that we as a congregation must also be aware of our own faithfulness. And it's possible for us, Galatians 1, 6 through 9, to turn to another gospel. Paul says another gospel which is not a true gospel, but is a perversion, is a corrupted gospel. It's possible for us to teach false things, to teach false doctrines. 1 Timothy 4, 1 talks about false doctrines and teaching. So we can lead the Lord by teaching, by adopting false things, by not only going into the world, but by leaving Scripture and leaving faithfulness to God. Number one, you can be faithful. Number two, you can leave God. But number three, following up on number two, you can leave God quickly. You can leave God quickly. We often think about that it takes a while for someone to grow unfaithful. You know, if we really think about it, in our span of life, as I just started this sermon by talking about, it's November. Doesn't it just seem like we just celebrated Thanksgiving and Christmas? And I know the older folks here are going to tell me, because you tell me all the time, and I believe it's true, I'm seeing it, the time just goes faster and faster the older you get, right? It does. I mean, it just flies. It seemed like, you know, used to as a kid, and I know my kids are already talking about how many days till Christmas. And, you know, as a kid, it seemed like it took Christmas forever to get here after December 1st. But now it's like, I don't worry about when Christmas is coming, because it's like comes around so fast now, it just takes a month to get there, and it's already been a year. Time just flies. Think about people who 6 months, a year, 2 years, even if you want to think about it as our nation, think about those of you who grew up in the 60s or the 50s even. Think about what our nation, and even myself growing up in the 80s and 90s, how quickly our nation has changed and digressed in our morals and our beliefs as a nation. Statistics bear that out, how there's been a tremendous change in moral views regarding homosexuality and marriage and other issues, sanctity of life issues, abortion and euthanasia and things like that. All these things show that those things have happened in the period of a generation or two. Many times someone will get on fire for the Lord quickly, and then they'll leave the Lord quickly. One or two things happen. Sometimes it's bitterness, sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's a new relationship develops. Here's someone that even young people, sometimes they'll go to college, and just that transition from their senior year to college, that's quickly. And they can leave the Lord. Or you meet someone new and that person comes into your life and they're not a good influence upon you and you leave the Lord. You can leave the Lord. Here's the thing. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians, take heed lest he who thinks he stands, lest he fall. If I'm arrogant enough to think that I'm not going to fall, then I am Satan's number one prospect. Because I can leave the Lord quickly. Think about churches. I know some of you have told me stories at times. You've been to a church somewhere on vacation, and you went there 10 years ago, and you go back on vacation to that same church, and you're like, this isn't the same church. Churches change. Churches can leave the Lord quickly. Think about churches that amongst us that used to be faithful and dedicated churches that now have women elders, women deacons, that now are using women in leadership positions in the worship, who have abandoned scriptural teaching on baptism. There's churches can change quickly who now have adopted the instrument of music in worship. Churches can change quickly. You see, we must always be aware that we have to constantly be restoring and working upon our own faithfulness. Because you can leave God quickly. Number four, let me say this. You can return to God quickly as well. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we often hear this verse used in a national sense, but I want to talk about it more in a spiritual sense. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my favor and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. The Bible tells us in these stories that we're going to be studying about various times where the nation of Israel, when they were underneath the kings, would change quickly. One king would be good, and then his son would be a bad king, and the nation would change. But we also see that they also repent or turn back to God quickly at times. For example, in 2 Chronicles 29:36, it tells about the restoration of Hezekiah and how he restored the nation to faithfulness suddenly or quickly. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 25, the Bible talks about how we need to return to the overseer of our souls. In the book of Nehemiah, he talks about, in a long extended passage, about the faithfulness of God and about how they had done wickedness, but how God was still faithful. For example, at the end of that passage in verse 32, he says this, "Now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, the awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love, let not all the hardship seem little to you that has come upon the kings and the princes and the priests, the prophets, the fathers, and all the people since the time of the kings of Assyria until this day. For you have been righteous in all that has come upon us, for you have dealt faithfully, and we have acted wickedly." God's always going to be faithful, despite our wickedness. And so Nehemiah is talking about how yet you, and he goes on and talks about this concept, yet God, when we returned to you, when we came back to you, God, you were faithful to forgive us. You see, you can return to God. I never will forget Brother Dow Flapp, Fried Harmon, saying and talking about preaching, and he said, talking about getting discouraged in preaching sometimes, and he says, "Brothers, always believe that one sermon can make a difference." Look at the times in the Bible. For example, Peter on the day of Pentecost, and the other apostles, Paul, when he goes around preaching in all the synagogues and places like that, Paul on Mars Hill in Acts 17, one sermon, one prayer. Your prayer can save someone, can cause someone to come back. One Bible study, one invitation, one article, one thought, one invitation to come to worship and go out to eat. You never know what can cause someone to come back. You see, people can return. Even people that have been away from the Lord for a long time can return. Maybe it's one bad health diagnosis. Something can cause them to return. We'll be talking about that as we go through what causes that. So you can be faithful to God. You can leave God. You can leave God quickly. And you can return to God. Now, let me introduce, as we think about those four things, let me introduce why we're going to study from Kings and Chronicles on this topic. First of all, these are neglected books, and we need to study them. They're in God's Holy Scripture, but it's tough to just get in there and wade through them on a Sunday morning. So we're going to study them by looking at some of these stories and looking at this theme. They tell the history of Israel during the kingdom years. So when we think about these books, Kings is written from more the political perspective, more the giving the details, and Chronicles written more from the priestly or spiritual perspective, a lot about the temple and the priestly service. But they cover the period from Saul, the first king, Samuel, the last judge, Saul, the first king, all the way through David and Solomon, all the way to the last king, Zedekiah, when he is carried away into Babylonian captivity. So they're going to cover almost a 500-year period from Saul, David, and Solomon to Zedekiah. And it's real important, and I want everybody to make sure they understand this. And I know some people that haven't studied the Old Testament much may not have a good grasp of this. Because you need to understand that as we think about these books, there are going to be two key nations that we'll talk about. And the first one is what we call the nation of Israel. And then the second one is what we call the nation of Judah. There's going to be a king that will always be serving over Israel and a king that will always be serving over Judah. Because there was at first the United Kingdom underneath Saul, David, and Solomon. But after Solomon, because of Solomon's wickedness and Solomon's turning away from God, the kingdom was divided with his sons after he passed. And we'll talk about that division and things like that. But what you need to know is that causes the 10 tribes to go underneath Jeroboam and the southern tribes to go underneath Rehoboam, and they're going to serve. This happened in 931 B.C. The 10 northern tribes, or what we call the nation of Israel, is going to last for 210 years. And it's going to have 19 kings. And they're all going to be bad. And they're going to be served by various prophets that will come to the northern kingdom and will try to get them to restore, prophets such as Elijah and Elisha, Amos and Hosea will all go to the northern tribes. For example, Ahab is one of their most wicked kings, and Jezebel, his wife, and you've heard about those stories and what Elijah tried to do with them. And in the southern nation of Judah, it's going to last much longer. It's going to last 345 years. It's going to have 20 kings, and 8 of them will be good. And so when I talk about Israel, when I talk about Judah, in the context of these Old Testament stories, we're talking about two different kingdoms, the divided kingdom. And the northern nation is going to be carried away into Assyrian captivity, and the southern nation will be carried away into Babylonian captivity. It's very important that we understand that basic history of the Old Testament. Now I want to look at this. I don't expect you to memorize all this in a very quick moment. But I want you to look over here at this good and bad. This is the report card section. And you don't even have to look at the years they served and things, but look at this. Bad, bad, good, good, bad, bad, bad. Mostly good, good, good. Wicked, good, worse. Among the worst, among the best. Bad, wicked, bad, bad. I want you to notice how we are constantly going down and up, down and up, with some mediocrity as well. What our study is going to be emphasizing is that Israel was constantly in their covenant relationship with God, going between faithfulness and apostasy. And what we want to look at is, why did they go into apostasy? And what did they do to produce restoration? And what we want to find out is how we can avoid apostasy in our own life and as a church, and how we can restore our own faithfulness and relight, if we need to, rekindle the flame of our faith, and maybe rekindle it in the lives of others who are here that need their faith rekindled. And so, why they left and why they returned. We're going to be studying this next Sunday, and then we'll not study it the week of Thanksgiving, because you've got to have a Thanksgiving sermon that Sunday, right? And then we'll study it again the 27th and December the 4th. If you're here this morning, I want you to think about this lady, because she illustrates what I want you to think about in your own life and your faithfulness to God. This lady was named Florence Chadwick, and she was known and famous for her long-distance swimming, was a pioneer in women's swimming. And on July 4th, 1952, she wanted to swim the Catalina Channel from Catalina Island over to California. But it was a heavy fog, and she had swam for 15 hours, and she still could not see the shoreline. And her coach and her mother were trying to encourage her to keep going. But after going another hour, she asked to be pulled out of the water. When she got into the boat, and they began to then row and take the boat on farther into the island, they realized that they were only a mile away from shore. But she couldn't see the shore. They couldn't see the shore. She later did it again. And when she did it the next time, there was once again a heavy fog rolled in, and she could not see the shore. But she said she kept a mental picture of the shore in her mind, because she believed that if she could have seen the shore the first time, she knew she could have swam one more mile. But because she had no idea of how much further she had to go, she quit. She gave up. But she kept a mental picture of the shore, and she made it the next time when the fog rolled in. What I want you to think about with your life is this. Your life may feel like you're living in a fog now, like there's all kinds of problems and stresses and anxieties and worries, maybe sin that's clouding your life. What you need to develop is a picture of Jesus, a desire for heaven. You need to have that hope, which is the anchor of your soul. And if you have that, it will provoke you to continued faithfulness, so that when the life gets tough, you keep swimming, you keep going, because you have your goal in mind. That's what we're going to be talking about. And this morning, if you don't have your goal in mind, if you don't have heaven, if you don't have Jesus as your aim, maybe you're thinking about quitting. Let me encourage you to keep on keeping on. Don't quit. Because heaven is real and Jesus died for you. Don't leave Him. If you need to be restored, if you need to come back, if you need to put Christ on in baptism and begin this journey, then come as together we stand and sing.